This podcast is meant for mature audiences only and contains strong sexual language. I am the Bomber.
And I'm the Belle.
And we are a black married professional couple.
And on this podcast, we share our experiences and tips as we traverse the swinger lifestyle.
Welcome to the Black
and Kinky
Lifestyle. Okay, so this is episode 2, Finding Your Tribe, Getting to the Network of Couples Right for You. Yes, we're talking about finding your tribe, and when I say tribe, I can't help think of Black Panther, because there were about 5 tribes that made up Wakanda.
There were.
And it was a great film.
Yeah.
That has absolutely nothing to do with the podcast today. But I thought
No, it kind of does.
How so?
I mean, because each tribe had their own characteristics, had their own, like, special way of fighting or defending themselves. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's kind of the same in the lifestyle. Like, there's certain groups of mm-hmm. people that like certain things. And, like, you know.
Okay, I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there was T'Challa's tribe. Mm-hmm. There was the tribe of the gorilla folks. I can't remember the name of these tribes, but they were so cool.
Jabari,
there we go. I love that movie so much. I'm so glad it's here. I just hope I live long enough to see it make at least like 4 or 5 sequels. Anyway, today we're talking about finding your people. And we're talking about basically finding the network of couples, again, that can work for you. So in this episode, we're going to talk about why that might be important, how you do it. And then we'll talk about why, you know, some reasons why you might want to venture out of your tribe and get a little bit familiar with the unfamiliar. So let's start with the why. So I'll start with this first why subpoint, and then you'll hit the second one. So like-mindedness is what we typically look for when we're looking for intimate partners in general. So I scour SLS, you know, checking out what other couples are on there. And when you look at their profile, almost universally, the first thing you see is, we're looking for like-minded couples.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that can mean a lot of things, like, depending on what they're minded about.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I think couples are typically looking for, when a couple say they're looking for something, some people that are, have like-mindedness or whatever, I think what they're looking for is a couple that is not going to judge them. Mm-hmm. They're looking for couples that aren't going to shame them for being in the lifestyle.
But how are you going to shame somebody in the lifestyle and y'all in the lifestyle together?
Yeah, you know, exactly. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But I also think that in the lifestyle, there's a lot of diversity. Even if we're all in the lifestyle, there are different levels. So, for example, there's some people who just like to be watched. There's some people who like to watch mm-hmm. exclusively. There's some people who soft swap. Mm-hmm. There's some people who hard swap. And that is just going full intercourse with another couple. Some couples don't even like other couples. Some couples just like single women or single men. Mm-hmm. Some couples don't just want to be friends, but they want to meet a couple to be in a full relationship with. Mm. Or they want to meet a woman to be the second partner or a man to be the second partner in the relationship. So even though the lifestyle is about, you know, consenting monogamy, there are so many consenting non-monogamy, sorry, there's so many variations of non-monogamy, and that's why it's important. You know, you want to find the couples that are on your level. Okay. So if you're just into soft swap, you might want to think about networking with couples that are okay with that, because some couples are not okay with that, you know. Some couples want soft swap exclusively. Some couples want hard swap exclusively. Some couples, just when we ran into these couples, they just want a hard swap and they don't even want to be your friend.
Yeah. Like, they're just in it for the sex.
Yes. They want to hit it.
Hit it and quit it.
Hit it and quit it. Right? We're not going to dinner. We just fucking. That's it. You know, the other thing is that couples, you know, outside of just making sure you're on the same page as far as your lifestyle, you couples might feel comfortable finding someone or someones that are similar in terms of, you know, being young professionals,
mm-hmm.
you know, being of a, you know, certain educational group, socioeconomic status group. I'm not saying this is all couples. Some don't care. We've tended to run into couples that are in our same, like, yeah. socioeconomic status and educational level. That's not to say, I mean, I think there's one couple that might have been different from us in that regard. And it was fine. I mean, you know.
Yeah. And it was more so because they were younger.
That's true, yeah.
Than anything else than that.
Right. Even when you're an individual looking for a partner, you want to find a peer, somebody who's sort of similar to you or interested in the same things. And again, like-mindedness is key there. So that's the first sort of sub-reason why.
So the second piece is really about, you know, feeling comfortable with people that are like you, right? So it's already a stretch that you're going out trying to find strangers to have sex. Like, that's literally what we're doing. Like, we're looking mm-hmm. for strangers mm-hmm. to have sex with.
Mm-hmm.
So, at least if it's going to be a stranger, let it be somebody that's similar to me. So mm-hmm. that gives me, you know, some context of who we're engaging with and things like that.
Yep.
And, you know, it is a stranger when you're first looking for the person, but as you talk to them, mm-hmm. as you get to know them, because a lot of times it's you're dating couples, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're still trying to make sure that chemistry, that compatibility is there, because when it is, it makes the sex better, right? So when you're compatible with people, when you like them, when you feel comfortable with them, the sex is much better. I like a little choking in the bedroom, but I'm not gonna let everybody just put their hands around my neck.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I need to know that I'm comfortable, you know, with the person that I'm with to make sure that, like, I don't die.
Right.
That's yeah. important.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
And for us too, the lifestyle isn't just about sex. Like, we like meeting couples and hanging out with couples, and we would like to hang out with them in and out of the bedroom. I mean, we enjoy vanilla time just as much as sexy time. And so in order for us to have vanilla time, we need to be able to, you know, have some conversation, you know, have common things to talk about, have mm-hmm. common interests,
mm-hmm.
Those kind of things. So to be comfortable with it. And it makes it less stressful that, you know, you're kind of sitting across the dinner table with somebody and just trying to figure out what to talk about. Like, it makes it less awkward,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you have some commonalities and you feel comfortable with the individuals.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, I think that's true. And I'd say that there are all these layers you have to peel back when you're meeting someone. And you're constantly, you know, you're trying to find a common ground. When you found your tribe and people that are similar to you in many ways, and if it comes down to race or if it comes down to education, there's just that layer that you don't have to peel off, that mm-hmm. it's already peeled off, and you already know you can relate to this person or these persons at a certain level. And that makes conversation easier. It makes awkwardness a lot, awkward silences a lot more infrequent.
Yeah.
It just makes you feel comfortable. And honestly, in order to have good sex, comfort is a minimal requirement. The last point under why we thought this was important is because we thought it was important of important to building a network of reliable play partners. One thing we've learned is that, like the Bell said, you know, we're talking about having sex with strangers. We're talking about getting to know strangers, talking with strangers, spending time with strangers, and really being intimate with strangers. Now, by the time we're intimate with them, they're like not strangers for the most part. Sometimes they actually are. We'll talk about how that happens. But there's always a risk there. When you build a network of play partners, when you found your tribe, know that people talk. You can literally, I mean, we just got a question today from a couple that was interested or got solicited by another couple. And this was a couple that, and this is probably a topic for another episode, but this is a couple we did not particularly have a good time with. And, you know, we found out later on from another couple after that, that they didn't have a good time with this couple either. And I won't go into details, but this was one of those couples that was bad news. And that's something you'll run into in the lifestyle. You know, it's not that they didn't try to kill us or anything. It was just, you know, a situation we'd rather not happen again. And we learned from that. But this couple asked us about that couple, and we had to sort of warn them and tell them, you know, you might not want to play with this couple because of so-and-so reasons. So little things like that, like if you found your network, you can really, one, get to finding out about couples you might want to play with. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of like, you know, every time you play with a couple and make a good, you know, impression on them, you know, you got your reference, because mm-hmm. Those references count. People are asking questions. When you have that network, it spares you the labor of going through an unknown experience.
Yeah. Another thing is, too, if you've got a network of couples, you know, if there's a party or, like, you know, some kind of event and you know who's going to be there, like, you know whether or not, you know, you're going to have a good time mm-hmm. if certain couples are there, right? Because, you know, you've played with them before, you've had good experiences, or, like, with, you know, not so good experiences, you know that couple's going to be there. They're like, oh, well, we just gonna have to stay home, okay? Mm-hmm. No, not going to do it.
and that happens sometimes too, right?
Yeah.
And when you found your network, the other thing, last thing I'll say, and this will be brief, is that you don't have to spend so much time searching for new couples. Right. Many times you'll run into them and they will find you instead.
Mm-hmm. Or people will introduce you, like, you know, couples that you've played with that have good experience, be like, oh, you should hang out with such and such, or oh, you should meet them.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, wow. I just thought of something else, but not for this segment. All right. So our second big bullet is, oh, yeah, how do you do it? So we talked about why it's important to find your tribe. Well, how do you find your people? How do you find a like-minded group of people? So it's lots of trial and error. So one thing we recognize is it's lots of trial and error.
Yeah, and trial and error doesn't mean, like, you're fucking a whole bunch of people to figure out whether you like them. Like, we always chat with couples before we try to chat with couples. Hotel parties and things like that, group events kind of make it a little bit different, but we mostly try to chat with couples before we decide we want to play with them. Just so, you know, we can get a preliminary feel to see, you know, what they're talking about, mm-hmm. what the vibe is like, you know, how things are going. But yeah, but you yep. have to get out there.
Yep.
Like, you can't meet people just sitting at home thinking, oh, I wonder what it would be like to play with another couple. Like, you actually have to go and engage people.
Yeah, you really do. And there are going to be times where, I mean, there was one time we went to a party and it was clearly not our peer group.
Yeah.
There were fine people there, but it was just not our, they clearly weren't our tribe. We were somewhat the oddballs out. We were still a sexy couple
there. We were the sexiest couple. That was the problem.
Yeah. We were glad we met them. We put ourselves out there. And I think that's important to do. We recommend, you know, going to clubs and parties if you can, and get on membership sites and lifestyle sites.
I mean, look at usually, not all the time, but a lot of the time the parties are themed. If it's like something you're really into, you know, that may be something you want to look at. If you know you're looking for a single male, go to a night where there's single males. Or if you're looking for a single female, go to that night. You know, you're really into BDSM, you know, go to those kind of nights, you know, to find like-minded people for the stuff that you like. And you know, you can read reviews, you can talk to people, but a lot of times you just have to go and see for yourself.
You know, that's how we started. We mm-hmm. went to a lifestyle club the first time, and we got a good feel for the kind of events they go, and we knew when to go and when not to go, yeah. Depending on what we liked. We knew, for example, we liked to go to lifestyle events where you could play just about anywhere.
Yeah.
And we liked that because we were somewhat of an exhibitionist couple, and we still are in some ways. So one thing you had mentioned was making sure to be likable in your interactions. Yeah. Remember when you said that?
Yeah. I mean, again, this is you're dating other couples, right? So you don't want to go out to an event or go to meet somebody and be a wallflower. Like, you don't have to be the life of the party, but have some personality. Like, have some flavor or something. Mm-hmm. Something, you know, be yourself. Absolutely be yourself and be genuine. But be the most likable version of yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're making a first impression, right? So you want people to be interested in you. You want people to at least get a taste of what you're about and kind of where you are, your thinking and stuff like that. And that can come out across in different ways. So obviously it can come across in your conversation when you're talking with people. If you're dancing, as, you know, the bomber talked about in the last episode, you know, dancing is one definitely. How you're dressed, right? So if you, mm-hmm. you know, regardless of what your body looks like, just being comfortable in your body and your outfit, but being sexy, because, you know, people want to see sexy. Don't come in here with no baggy clothes on or, like, you just left the gym or something like that. Like, come ready, you know, dressed.
There was one time we went to a lifestyle party and we were sitting at this table with some friends. And this was an event where it was like a pajama party. Mm-hmm. Now, the Belle came in some of the sexiest lingerie. And the Belle has you have lots of nice lingerie. Yeah. You look good in your lingerie. So you steal the show. But I suspected that when we went to this, you know, party that there would be lots of lingerie at it's a pajama party. Why wouldn't you? But we came to find out that a lot of people weren't in pajamas or they were.
No, they were in pajamas. Like they were like, in like regular ass
t-shirts.
Pajamas. Like.
Yeah, it's like.
Like you know, your old sweatpants and that oversized t-shirt that you got mm-hmm. from some event that you went to that you really didn't want it. That now you just sleep in it because right. you got it.
Right, right, exactly. And the thing is, I'm not, you know, some people may not look the best in lingerie, but I don't care. I mean, whether you're fat or
no, I've seen lingerie, you can make it work. Yes, to fit your style. Figure it out. Like, know your body. Mm-hmm. Know what works to your body, but figure you can find something that is not some baggy pants and mm-hmm. an oversized t-shirt.
You know, I bring it up because we were at this lifestyle place. And again, we were sitting at this table and a couple had came up and sat at the table that we didn't know. Now, they clearly sat at that table because they were interested in at least one of the couples or all of us that were sitting there. And I remember looking at the guy and saying, you know, he actually had on pajamas and he had on a t-shirt, which is fine. I mean, guys don't necessarily have to show out as much as girls do. And he was fine. He was dressed for the event. But then the girl he was with, she wasn't dressed in theme.
I don't know what she was dressed
And she wasn't dressed to go out either. You know, these places don't have a lot of these places don't really have a strict dress code. They just want as many fuckable people in the door as possible. That'll pay. And so she clearly, like, she looked like she just came out, just walked out of bed and just threw anything on and came in. Mm. I remember seeing her in the playroom later on, and I saw her body because she wasn't, you know, wearing any clothes. And she didn't have a bad body at all.
No,
I mean,
she was
slim.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting there like, wow, if she was wearing something like just a little sexier that she had on, we probably would have been interested in really pursuing them much more aggressively than we did. I mean, we just sort of greeted them, but I was just sort of like,
in the lifestyle, like, things can be very shallow, mm-hmm. right? It's very surface. You know, you can get deep with a couple sometimes and be like, you know, what are their values and that kind of stuff. But, like, no, you're looking for people to fuck. So you want to make sure that, like, they have physical characteristics that you enjoy and are attracted to. Mm-hmm. And that you find sexy.
See, I think on one level that's true, especially if you are meeting a couple, like, and the first impression you're getting is the visual, right? For that couple, I bring up that couple in particular because we didn't know them. We knew nothing about them, didn't chat with them, nothing.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what the hell she had under her mm-hmm. clothes. There are some couples that we know now, I know what they have under their clothes. So it's like if we saw them in a club and, you know, maybe the girl or the guy just was in a rush and they didn't make the best choice in what to wear, we would still be okay playing with that couple because we know them. But if you walk out there and you're not coming correct, like really like showing that you're, you know, and maybe you're not looking for that. Maybe you're not looking to be approached by stranger couples. But I think making a best impression or making a really good impression will make it easier for you to find your tribe. Belle mentioned going to events.
A lot of places have calendars. A lot of people organize private parties, hotel parties, things like that. But I mean, if you talk to people, again, engage the community, you'll find out about the different parties and like who hosts, whose parties are really fun, whose parties have, you know, a younger crowd, or whose parties tend to swing older. Whose parties have some like weird kinky shit that mm-hmm. you may not be into, those different kinds of things.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to say, okay, and now I remember what I was going to say about being likable. So, even if you find yourself at a party or at a club where you're not as interested in the crowd sexually, you still always want to make a good impression. And that just means, again, being sociable, mm-hmm. you know, smile a lot, you mm-hmm. know, be conversational, crack some jokes, you know, tease a little bit, you know, do a lot of that. The party that we went to where we weren't really that interested in, you know, the couples that were there. And, you know, and we're not saying that these couples were ugly or anything, or they weren't super sexy. They just weren't our type. Now, we didn't walk in there and then say, oh, okay, this isn't our style. Fuck this. We out. All right. And I think one of the women who were there actually did that.
Yeah.
She left very early.
She was like, oh, I'm good.
No. Yeah. You know, and that happens sometimes. But I think that's, you know, and she was a unicorn, so I think they're a little bit more privileged. Mm-hmm. You know, she's always going to be welcome. Like the Belle said, be yourself. When we were at that party, I knew that the couple that was hosting had a hot tub, and I was like, you know, I like hot tubs, so I'm jumping in that hot tub. I'm not playing with any of the couples here, but I'm jumping in there.
He really likes hot tubs.
You like hot tubs too.
I mean, I like hot tubs, but not like you like hot tubs.
Yeah, well, maybe. Anyway, since I liked hot tubs, all of us ended up, everybody who was in attendance except for the host for some reason, I don't know, they were on host duty.
Yeah, but I don't get that.
But everybody ended up jumping in the hot tub naked. You know, we had some good conversation. I think one of the women was pretty, I mean, she was an older woman, but I feel like she was one of the most attractive older women we've seen. I mean, her breasts were not aging with her. I'll say that. They were perky as hell.
They probably were fake.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's an episode for another day. Yeah. I'll say this. I don't recommend going that far in order to find your tribe.
Yeah, that's not necessary.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If you got droopy titties, you'll wear them shits with pride.
Be proud of your saggy titties.
Yes.
Because somebody going to suck on them.
Somebody's going to suck on saggy titties. Mm-hmm. I sucked on plenty of saggy titties in my day. The other thing I'll say as far as putting yourself out there is, when you meet new people, again, talk to them. It's there are ways to start conversations, ask them what their lifestyle has been. We'll have another episode on this as well, how to start conversations with new couples. But a good way to do that is just ask them what their experience and the lifestyle has been. It's an easy question to answer, and it can give you some insight. So that is the first line about putting yourself out there with lots of, trial and error and attending events. The second thing is make sure your profile and images are on point, online profiles and images.
And up to date.
Right.
So don't be posting, photos from 10 years ago where you was really looking cute and you was extra fine, and now you're not quite there, which you probably still look good, but if you show up looking different in your profile pictures, people are gonna be like, for real?
Yo, that's really, yeah.
That's a big no-no. Like, have up-to-date photos.
Yeah, it's, I think it's a real lifestyle sin to have outdated photos, and luckily we haven't run into this, but I've just heard the closest we ran into it was a couple where the woman had actually lost weight and looked far slimmer than she actually was in her profile pictures, which, you know, we can give that a pass, because she planned on gaining some of it back. This is another aspect of the Black community and our norms around weight gain and weight loss.
Right.
We'd rather have some of that on than off.
Because she lost some of her ass.
Yeah.
Which was already ridiculous.
Yeah, it was still ridiculous.
It was. But it wasn't, as ridiculous.
As ridiculous. True. True. She still looked quite gorgeous. Yeah, that's a little bit different, but we're talking about couples who are literally trying to deceive. They know they're deceiving, and they should have, or you should have, I should say, the most up-to-date profile pictures as possible. The profile pictures will definitely help you meet your tribe, but more generally, your lifestyle profile. Actually, let me not leave the profile pictures yet, because one problem is they can be outdated. The other issue is they could just be the wrong picture. There's so many problems that I see in lifestyle profiles when it comes to pictures. And we'll have a whole episode on this as well. One thing is the guy's not anywhere to be found.
Right.
It's just the woman.
That's extra suspicious.
Right. Not cool.
If you don't have any pictures together, extra suspicious. I don't want it. Next. Hard pass.
Honestly, we shouldn't have to send a message to get a picture of the guy. You know, doesn't need his face. Some people don't put the face on there. Some people don't, go naked, and that's fine. But it matters. He's part of this party too. So that's one thing. Another thing I keep seeing is people in these awkward posing positions when they don't have clothes on. I literally saw a woman squatting naked. And I guess there's a sexy way to do that.
Like Little Kim squatting?
Nah, not like that. The kind of squatting that looked like she was using the bathroom outside, outdoors. Uh-uh. That's what it looked like to me. And you really don't want to take a picture that's associated with any kind of human releasing, or
unless that's your thing.
Maybe. I'll say, even if it is your thing,
it's not ours, but it's out there.
Yeah, it's not cool. And I also saw a picture, this one cracked me up today, but I saw a picture literally of it was a single guy's profile. Mm. And all it shows, his profile picture is just his lips smiling. And it was the creepiest image
like I've the Cheshire ever seen. Cat.
Yes, except, well, he wasn't showing his teeth, but it was one of those sinister lip smiles, like, and you don't want to be creepy as a single guy.
That's like, a whole nother episode, but yes. You cannot be creepy. Like, creep status has to be on zero.
Yeah, it has to be you want to be as far from creep as possible, because creep is like the default assumption, mm-hmm. especially for single guys. Mm-hmm. So if you have a sinister picture, it's not going to work. You're not going to find your tribe easily that way. So that's the thing. There are ways to get feedback on your profile. On SLS. I'm not sure about the other sites, but we definitely did that, and it's worth it. As far as the profile, you want to be clear on your preferences. That's also a good way to find your tribe, because your tribe is, and members of the tribe are out there, and they're looking for you.
Yeah.
And the way they find you is your pictures as well as your profile. So if you're into full swaps, make it clear. If you just swap, make that very clear. Mm-hmm. If you're not sure,
make that clear.
At the very least, somebody will reach out and say, well, say a little bit more about what you're into. Mm-hmm. So make sure your profile is letting folks know about that. If you're into cream pies, hell, make that clear. We're not into that stuff. But again, there's a community in the lifestyle that is definitely into that. All right. So, again, we could have a whole episode on profile and online profiles and pictures, but we're going to move on to finding groups online, and we're part of several groups. This one I'll keep short because it's related to our last one. On your online swinger sites, there are groups. There are always groups. There are interracial groups. There are holiday groups or vacation groups. There's groups that are into BBCs, BBWs, Becky's. They often have events posted on their group sites. Not only that, you can also go into the events and check out who's attending them. So there is an attendee list, but we should also say that it doesn't tend to be as reliable. Usually, you'll get couples that say they're going, but they don't show up.
Yeah.
But at the very least, you get a sense of who might show up.
Mm-hmm. Or the kinds of couples that are showing up.
True. So if you, for example, click on an event and find out, oh, everybody who's going to this thing is 65 and up, you know, and you're not into that age group, then, you know, that's probably not how you're going to find your tribe. Pay attention to that. I guess I would ask you, Belle. So the next thing I had here was exchange contact info, profiles, usernames with people that you come in contact with at parties and host parties. So do you remember us doing any of that at any of our events? How did that happen? Do you remember? I know at our last hotel social, we did a lot of that.
Yeah, we did. Like, it was, but never, it's never like up front. It's always like after we play, and then it's like, oh yeah, I want to see you again. What's your SLS? What's your username? What's your kick? Let's chat. Let's, so you can link up another time. But it's as simple as, you know, just asking for their profile name. Because, I mean, pretty much most folks have a profile on some site. In the lifestyle. And so then you can check them out. You can check out more of their photos. You can chat with them, you know, just get more information about them. And they can do the same with you. Like, they can get more information about you, see your profile, see all everything that you're about.
Right.
And I feel like it legitimizes you when mm-hmm. you have a profile.
Yep.
Yeah. It makes you like you're a legit swinger.
Yeah, definitely. And there are some people that don't spend a lot of time on online profiles. And even if you're not somebody who does that, maybe you don't scour the SLS site or Quiver, or I guess Voodoo is another one. And there's
Love
also La Voodoo, yeah. There's also Cassidy. That's another big one. Mm-hmm. I'd say that you don't really have to scour those places, but just create the profile so that if somebody wants to get a sense of what you're about, you can tell them your username and say, hey, check out my profile. Mm-hmm. They can see your pictures. They can see your information. And then you can let them know, check out my profile. But if you're interested in contacting me, hit me up on Kick, hit me up on GroupMe, or hit me up on some other platform. Right. But the profile is like your resume. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity for other couples to leave certifications for you sometimes. I guess I can only speak for SLS. I'm not sure about Cassidy. It's just a good place where people can get information about you that are interested. I'll say that we haven't really played with folks outside of our tribe, and I think our tribe would compose of, I guess if I can describe, I mean, if you could describe our tribe, what would you say our tribe is? Like, what are the characteristics?
Professional couples, primarily middle class. All of the couples we've played with have kids. Not all of them.
Who doesn't have kids?
At the hotel party, one of them didn't have.
Oh, yeah.
Most of them have kids. Most of them are halfway woke, I guess. Like, you know, this is the professional, young black professional group of individuals. Like, if we weren't fucking these people, we would probably, like, be in their circle. If we had met them in some other capacity, they would be in our friend circle as well. For the most part.
I would also add that, and this isn't a requirement, but our tribe has been on the more on the hard swap end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that we're not a couple who's interested in primarily hard swap, although that's usually where we end up. It just makes the hotel situations a little easier when everybody's sort of, you know, just jumping in and out of everybody else's bed, making all kinds of different combinations. and that can be fun. We haven't really ventured out of our circle. In the initial stages, we did, you know, run into some groups that weren't quite like us because we were still in our discovery period, but we didn't really play all the time.
Yeah. Other couples of other races and ethnicities have contacted us, and we've actually chatted with a few, but it just hasn't worked out to play together.
Yeah, that's true. We actually, you know, we have been open to it. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't want to make us sound like, you know, we're
only black dick over here. Right. But no, it's not like that.
No, it's not. It's not like that at all. But there are some reasons why you might want to venture out of your tribe. One thing I said is that you get to broaden your perspective a little bit. I think a lot of us are living in a bubble these days.
Oh, yeah.
And just to bring in politics for 1 second, and then I'm going to step back. I think we would consider ourselves, we're sort of moderate progressives, or I'll just speak for myself, because we might have different political views that I don't know about. But but when I consume information, I try my best to do it on both ends. So sometimes, if I ever go to CNN, I make a habit of going to Fox News as well.
Oh my God.
If I watch a YouTube video from a progressive network like TYT, I will purposely make sure that the next political video I watch is from a conservative network or a conservative YouTuber.
Break the algorithms.
Right. I think it's really important. And the reason why I say it's really important is because if you don't escape from your bubble, then people who don't think like you can seem subhuman. Mm. It becomes really easy to be outraged, really easy to be hateful towards people who aren't thinking like you because you don't understand where they're coming from. When you start to venture out of your circle and understand where people are coming from, even if you disagree with them, it becomes really difficult to remain outraged when you understand their perspective. Then it just becomes a disagreement. And it's easier to just function for me, you know, like Trump supporters. After consuming a lot of conservative media, Trump supporters don't seem nearly as subhuman as they did before, you know, because now I'm starting to understand where their outrage is coming from.
Yeah.
And
that's fair.
So I bring that back to lifestyle and saying that it helps broaden. It can help broaden your perspectives to step out of your tribal zone. Even if you're not going to play with another couple, get to know other couples. It's just something that might make you a better person, more well-rounded individual.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I'll say is that there's the novelty of, you know, having something different. That can be really hot if you've never been with, if you're a black person who's never been with somebody who's white or somebody who's Asian or somebody who's Indian or somebody who's Latino. That could be really kind of hot. There is something sexy about being with another person that is different, somebody you would never imagine yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
You may learn different ways of playing. And I think that one is interesting. Again, we haven't ran into that one too, but I'm thinking of like tantric sex.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of black folks that are into tantric sex. They might be out there.
Yeah, we haven't found them.
Right. But I'm just saying, you know, you can run into a couple that practices this different thing, or they might use a different toy that you never, you know, mm-hmm. seen before. So it can help broaden not only your perspective, but also your ways of achieving orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it for the topic of the day. You want to add anything to why it might be interesting to meet a new, different couple outside of your tribe?
No, I think that's it. Just, you have a unique perspective, like, I think you're right. We live in our bubbles, so there's just not a lot of Asian people in my bubble. But I find Asian men sexy.
And I find Asian women sexy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get the... And if there are any Asian people out there, forgive me for what I'm about to say, but I think y'all a little scared of us sometimes.
Well, there's white people too.
Yeah. True. But, yeah, I you know... Just telling all the people out there, not all of us have, like, monster cocks. Okay? So we're not going to kill you.
Not going to ruin the Asian pussy.
Yeah. Not going to ruin any pussy. Although there are some guys out there that say that they are pussy destroyers, and I just don't think that's something to be putting out there all the time.
It's not a badge of honor.
No.
I mean, yeah, because you want to, like, preserve the pussy.
Exactly. I mean, you know, you know, the guy's husband is right there. He's like, wait, you're going to do what to my wife's pussy? Like, jeez, man, I don't know if I want that. I got to go home with that after.
Yeah.
You know, you're just damaging pussies left and right. I mean, like, I still have sex with it.
But... Right. Now, it's time for the hit list. So this episode's hit list is going to be Black Panther.
Oh, yes. Yes, Black Panther. Oh, so many hittable people in that movie.
So who are you trying to smash in Wakanda?
Oh, yes, in Wakanda. Right on top of some vibranium. Like, not even like the mind vibranium, just the raw rock or whatever while it's glowing. It's sexy. With the Black Panther suit on for me too.
Wait, so you're trying to be T'Challa?
I'm trying to be Bobomber. No, man, I'll bring a special flavor to the Black Panther.
Mm.
No, but who was the who was the actress that played T'Challa's ex? I keep forgetting.
Lupita,
that's right.
She played Nakia.
Yes, Nakia. That's the character. So no spoilers, but in the film, for those who haven't seen it, get your life together and get it done. So there's this one scene where she's having a disagreement with the general, and her last line after their disagreement is something to the effect of, you know, her saying that she saves her country, and
she walks away. And the thing is, the wardrobe in the film was consistently on point. Mm-hmm. And all the characters always just wore some of the most badass outfits. Mm-hmm. And she was wearing like this green tight, like just this like uniform, or I don't know what it was, but it was fitted. It was like leather. It was green. It was like had these African patterns on it. And it's just, you know, I think sometimes there can be nothing sexier than a woman's walk. And she does this walk, and it just complimented her body so much. She just swayed her hips from side to side. She had a very determined walk, and it was like this model runway walk almost. And it just, the way the light was bouncing off of her curves, she just became the sexiest woman alive at that moment for me. And I was like, damn, I would do so much to that. She's like slim, she's smooth, dark skin. Mm. Oh my goodness, I would just tear that up. Mm. I would have some Wakandan babies with that girl. No, I'm just, I took that a little too far, I'm married. But no, she's sexy, so I would hit that.
So, I'm going to say Killmonger.
Of course you're going to say Killmonger.
I mean, the shoulders and the pecs. Like, if he came up in there with the coup, like, trying to overthrow things, I'd be like, you know, let's just see what happens. He might not be that bad, you know. He might be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Because then the next day, he comes in there with his chest out again. I'm just saying. Like, if I was, like, in the High Council, I'd be like, you know, we should at least give him a try.
First of all, you would be the chick, like, from Coming to America every day in the bathtub. Your royal penis.
The royal penis is clean, Your Highness.
Yes. that yes. would be you.
Absolutely.
So let me guess let me guess the moment you fell in love with Killmonger.
Hmm.
So it was right before his first physical conflict with T'Challa, when he takes his shirt off and you see all the scars.
Yes, that was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful moment.
Do you even remember his lines in that scene? It was very powerful.
Like, kind of, but I was distracted.
Yeah, of course you were. I saw sweat beads.
I mean, on your head. You saw sweat beads on my head. No. And I was like, is this your king? Is this your king? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but he's so angry. And I feel like that would make for a really good fuck.
It would.
It would. Like, he's just like, he's just pumping so hard. Like, yes, kill me. Yeah. I mean, I'd be willing to take a shot in the head for that.
Be like, take all this vibranium, baby. Take all of it. It's yours. It's yours.
Yeah, so that's my Black Panther bae.
Yeah. No, but there were a lot of sexy characters in that film. So that's...
I mean, M'Baku could get it too.
M'Baku? Really?
Yes!
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't get tired of that? Smashing it from the back?
Yeah. I probably would. But he seems like he would be a selfish lover.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He just busts a nut like, ooh! And then he's done.
Yeah.
They're like, I need to get mine next. Ooh!
And I feel like T'Challa would be too reserved. He just want to caress you.
He'll be kissing your neck.
Yeah,
he'll be giving you a lot of head.
Right. He just want to cuddle with you. Like, I just want to take it slow.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure that, you know, you feel good. I mean, which is good, but I'm here for the angry dick.
I mean, he had some angry scenes in the film. Remember that one, not my favorite line, I am your king now.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. You didn't find that sexy?
I mean, it was powerful, but it's not the same.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. We still have another Avengers movie featuring more Black Panther characters.
Yes.
So, but yeah, that's our hit list for this episode. Hey, don't hesitate to send us your hit list through our email or Twitter. holler at us. We're curious to see what kind of folks you're interested in smashing. But yeah, until next time. And now, what do we got coming up next?
All right.
Sticky pages.
Sticky pages. Yes. So I'm going to let you start this. Now, I was going to talk about the hotel social, but you might have another sticky page experience you want to talk about.
No, we can talk about the hotel social.
So the first hotel social.
I know, yeah.
Okay. So why don't you tell... Because that was our first like full swap experience. So
it was our first full swap.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that. What did you... like about that? How did it happen?
It was kind of unexpected. Well, not that it was unexpected. We knew that the couples that were going to be at the party were full swap. And we knew one of the couples that was going to the party. Like, we had chatted with them before. You know, they seemed cool. They seemed a little aggressive, which is not necessarily a bad thing, right? Especially if it's your first time. And you may still be, like, a little hesitant, you know, like you're standing on the ledge. Like, you want to jump, but you're not really sure. But it would just help if you had a little nudge. Mm-hmm. So typically, at least in our experience, at hotel parties, once you get to the room or rooms, you have to get naked or get into something, you know, sexy. You don't have to get naked, but guys, you know, take off their shirts, take off their pants and their boxers.
And that's one thing that sold me about going to this event, that they required folks to dress for the event or undress for the event in this case.
Right. And ladies, you know, getting some sexy lingerie or something like that, just so it makes it so that everybody's vulnerable, right? So everybody has to dress down. So now you're out there automatically. And so that breaks down at least one of the walls in terms of meeting people. And then we went around the room and everybody said, you know, what their rules were, what their boundaries were, those kind of things. So, you know, okay, that couple... You know, the wife can play with girls, but the husband doesn't play, or, you know, whatever it is. So it kind of gives you an idea. And you try to, at least I try to keep track of that throughout the night. I mean, mm-hmm. I think with large numbers of couples, that could get difficult.
Oh, I totally forgot.
I totally didn't. But you just try to at least ask before you, you know, play with somebody. So then to like have an icebreaker, we did this kind of massage train thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, it would be one girl who got massaged by all the guys.
Oh, all the guys. Well, oh, actually, it was guys and women.
Yes, guys and women. And then, you know, it switched. And then a guy would get massaged by just the women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And so it flipped like that. And so, you know, everybody was pretty hot. And I feel like it was kind of spontaneous how the play started. Like, after the third person got massaged, everybody was like, all right, like, take all your clothes off.
Because after a while, once the third person got massaged, the game switched. So, like, a guy would be getting massaged and by the girls, but while the girls were getting massaged, the guys were asked to give the girls massages while they were massaging. And that's what, because that got everybody touching each other. Yeah. And that got people turned on. I mean, it's easy to get turned on when you got people in lingerie and then you got skin, you know, you got skin to skin contact. Mm-hmm. And like the people getting, people's hands were oily from the massage oil.
And so you got all these oily asses. Yep. Like, you know, big oily booties and titties.
Yes, and yes, yes. And I remember it started, like, I had left the room. I can't remember. I must have made a drink or something. But by the time I came back, you know, this dude was behind this girl. Dick was out. And she was just, like, grinding against him. Then this chick was just getting ate out while she was, you know, she was still giving a massage, I think.
Multitasking.
Right.
And at hotel parties, sometimes you really have to be good at multitasking.
Yeah, that's true. Because, at a hotel party, I mean, it's essentially an orgy. So, you know, you can be in the middle of eating somebody out and, like, you know, as a woman, if your ass is bent over somebody's going to either penetrate you or start eating you out from the back. And, you know, now you got two things to pay attention to.
Right.
Which, you know, is not bad, depending on what you're into.
Yeah. So I started playing with the guy, the husband that we have been chatting with. And then I think the wife came and grabbed you.
Yeah.
And took you to another room.
Yeah, no, she did not take me to another room right away. She decided that she was going to get familiar with my dick first.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, because she went down on, first of all, I don't even remember her saying hi. But
I mean, she said hi to your dick.
Yeah, she did. Okay. And she just started giving me head almost immediately.
Oh, wow.
So she was pretty aggressive, and that was the first time that I had just been attacked in that way. But while that was happening, that was the first time you had been playing with another guy.
Yeah.
And he, just like his wife, got after us like we were insulin and they had diabetes. Because they definitely had their way with us.
Yeah.
So, what else was hot about that night?
Oh, everything was hot about that night. So, I played with the husband that I knew for a little while. And then, after we were done playing, I don't know. I think I came out to sit in, like, the little lounge area.
Yeah, you did.
And it was just a whole bunch of naked people, sexy people just sitting around talking. Mm. And I'm pretty sure the conversation wasn't even sexy conversation. But it was just really cool and sexy that we were just all sitting around talking and sexy. And then there was a guy sitting next to me, and I don't remember how it started, but I started giving him head. Mm-hmm. And he was really enjoying it. He was one of the guys where, at least I thought, when we had gone around and set our rules, that his wife was like, oh, he can't swap. Like, he can soft swap, but he can't full swap or mm-hmm. whatever. And she would just swap with girls, but she was swapping with guys too.
Man, yeah. All of that went right up
it
the
did.
Window when you got at him.
Right. And so it was like really sexy because I was like, he was like, I really, like, we need to, like, move this to the next level. And I was like, I mean, is that okay? Like, mm-hmm. and then he asked his wife, and she was like, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because his wife liked you, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she was.
Because she was either fingering me or eating me out while I was giving him head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of a blur now. But, yeah, so then I start playing with him for a little while, and then his wife came and joined us.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we played together.
Yeah, we played together for a little while. And then I think my knees started to hurt, or my quads were hurting, because you were really low, and, you know, you were giving him head, and I just... And I think I was distracting you, and I decided, you know what?
This is what happened. Yeah. But then we went in the room and played, I thought.
I can't remember if we did.
I just remember we were like laying on the bed talking to each other about how great it all was. And then we were like, oh, yeah, we're like supposed to be having sex with people.
Yeah. Yeah. It was sexy that night. So first of all, I'll say that the couple that we played with at first, the woman was really good, or the wife was really good at, like, dirty talk. She's mm-hmm. always just been really good at that. So that's what I liked about that couple. One couple of things I'll say great about that couple is, although they're somewhat aggressive, one, the husband always gets the party started. So
always.
if you're impatient about getting things moving, he will move things along. And his wife... is just really good at dirty talk. She'll whisper some of the nastiest shit in your ear, and that's really good. So I think the hottest part of the night... So my favorite part of the night wasn't the hottest part of the night.
Oh.
I'll say that my favorite part of the night is something you mentioned, and that is, and I like this about all our hotel socials, is, you know, there are rounds, right? Mm-hmm. People are fucking for like maybe 20, 30 minutes, and then they're like, okay, need a break. And people start talking naked, and we're not even talking about lifestyle stuff. We're just like, wow, that was nice. So, you know, what do people do for a living, you know? and we're all just naked, and we're all just sexy, and we're all just, yeah. You know, we all smell like, you know, de-pussy.
Badussy,
whatever. and that's cool. So that was my favorite part of the night. The hottest part of the night is actually when I got to have sex with the host. Oh. And Belle was coaching me on as I am, because the host had a body, like she had a really nice ass. It was big, like it was video vixen ass.
Yes.
And I wanted it as soon as I saw it. Mm-hmm. And Belle knew I wanted it. So she, you know, the host was giving me head at one point, and, you know, she's doing a fabulous job. And Miss Belle is like, I know you want that ass. I'm like, yeah, I do want that ass. Like, I can tell you want to fuck this ass. I'm like, yeah, she's like touching the host's butt cheeks here. I'm telling you, this is happening.
That's a nice ass. See, I have a nice ass, but it's not like a stupid booty. Like, it's not like, oh my God, look at that ripple. Like, it's not like, it's a nice ass.
It is a nice ass. No, it's an excellent
But it's
ass.
Not a donk. So I'm very fascinated with big booties and nice asses. And so when I see one that I like, I know that he's going to like it too. And I want him to enjoy like that big, stupid booty.
Yes. And I did enjoy that big, stupid booty that night. So that was the hottest. Because her husband, I think they were like, there were so many people in that room not having sex, just watching us do this thing. And I remember going at it for a while, and just like I collapsed on her back, and I was soaking in sweat.
I do remember that.
Yeah. But I had a smile on my face the whole time. And you took a liking to the single guy that showed up. That's another interesting thing that happened that night. A single guy.
Even though
guy
I didn't get to
in.
Play with him. I
well, feel you like played with him. You just
I didn't
go
play
all
with
the
him.
Way.
Yeah. We didn't full swap. But he was very sexy. Now, I know we talked about, like, you don't have to be a model in the lifestyle, but he was a model. Like, abs, cut, pecs, like, all of that chocolate, very sexy.
No, he could have been in Black Panther. He could have played Killmonger if he wanted to.
For real.
And you know, when I saw him walk in, now single guys, again, I'll say that single guys, we default to creepy. But the way he was talking and the way he was carrying himself, this guy wasn't a creep at all.
No.
He seemed like a guy who could have gone in this party, ate out all the girls without having sex, and still would have been fine leaving. Mm-hmm. I felt comfortable with you and him. Like, I could, that's something I could have watched and just, you know, sort of had some popcorn.
'Cause it was very sexy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It wasn't bad seeing you guys just being intimate.
Mm-hmm. Because he was very respectful.
Mm-hmm.
He was very, like, attentive and attuned to what was going on. Like, you know, just making sure that, okay. Because the thing is, like, a single guy, like, you don't want to be a threat, right?
That's right.
You don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable or like, you know, you're going to be a problem. So it's hard being a single guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And that's key for all the folks who are interested in being, you know, in this lifestyle, who are single guys. You know, you just got to know people are going to think you're creepy right away.
Like, there are, like, autumn off top, they're going to be like, nah. Like, single guy? Nah, no. Like, single guys are sometimes, like, there's a lot of clubs don't let single guys in. A lot of parties don't allow single guys. Single guys matter, too.
Yeah, they do matter. And I would say that the and it's a disadvantage for single guys because the assumption is that you guys just want to fuck a bunch of chicks. Sorry, you want to smash a whole bunch of you just want as much pussy as possible, which is what a lot of single guys want, and it can be threatening. And so, for example, just as a single guy, if you reach out to a couple you're interested in playing with, or, you know, that could be seen as creepy behavior immediately. A lot of couples say, if we're interested in you, we will come to you. Like, don't reach out. One thing this guy did not have that I appreciate about guys in the single, in the lifestyle, married or not, is that he wasn't thirsty. And being thirsty is so unsexy. I just I can't emphasize it enough. To us, or to me in particular,
it's a fine line.
Well, there's thirsty and there's just sort of like, I really like you and I want you, and
it's a fine line,
right? You know, if you have some charm, you can you know, dance that fine line. But but thirsty just kind of turns me off. If I meet a guy who's really too eager in the lifestyle, like, even if his wife is hot, I wouldn't be super interested. Yeah.
But that's kind of how the night ended. Single guy ate me out, and then it was like 2 a.m. and you said we had to go.
Yeah, I did have the single girl that night. That was the last one I had. And she was all right, although I think her pussy got damaged.
Oh no. There was a pussy destroyer there.
Pussy destroyer, yeah. Or she was just dried out.
I mean, condoms.
Another episode, another conversation for another day, condoms. So I think we've that basically sums up our sticky pages. Again, please send your sticky pages to us. Again, sticky pages is just give us an experience that you've had, you know, give us those details, give us, what happened. And it doesn't have to be something crazy that you had, you know, sex with a bunch of couples, just a hot night, even if it's not a hard swap, even if it was just you and your partner, having a really hot night out, share it. I mean, sticky pages is sticky pages, hot is hot. Also, send your questions, comments, and feedback. This is an undertaking for us that is very new. If you have any suggestions for how we can make our podcasts really good and stand out, we'd be glad to hear from you. Otherwise, we will wish you farewell.
Thanks.